Jamaica. See, do you love me?
I will.
So ladies, say if I go and take a man, I say go attack you. I say, hey girl, let your man in. She don't put her say, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together when I get for this brother. Put your hands together. Oh, yeah, me. Ladies and gentlemen, this brother is one of Jamaica's most outstanding performing artists. Welcome once again on the center stage, the right honorable Mr. Eddie Teacher.
Is all about. We are the best platform and no doubt about it. 50 years in the singer Jamaica. I will search for him, I will find him. Just like Beverly Kelso with Bob Marley. 55 years she no singer Jamaica. She beat you by 5 years. See? And we make people know her. To be frank with you, at first me I see him. Me hear him song, me group on him song. That's why I'm in love with Rubber Duck Thursday. First, may I see. All who want to take a picture with him, go around and back. They're around us in the picture I take.
Yes, let's get things started here on WRCT. Lots of good music for you today, so stay with us. You are listening to One to One, the Ancient Red Show here at WRCT.
girl, phenomenal. You're a number one, not like anyone. You be sexual and physical and spiritual, the connection.
Your body belongs only to me. You all I ever need. Only one I feel and see. I wanna be close to you, be for you. It's sensual, give it more to all.
Sexual and physical and spiritual, the connection.
You're vibing me, take you to ecstasy, give you that all you see. There's nothing not in me. I wanna show you, show that I know other girl gets and tell you all the things you will understand. Let me show you.
Phenomenal, you're a number one, not like anyone. Keep it sexual and physical and spiritual, the connection.
Your body belongs only to me. You all I ever need. Only one I feel and see. I wanna be close to you, be for you. It's sensual.
Sexual and physical and spiritual, the connection.
dancing a while. What does Jamaican's response to Vibe Scar's Tell release say about Jamaican culture?
I say about Vibe Scar Tell because what you call Jamaican culture now is a duplicity of things now we could have talked about when you say Jamaican culture because I don't know which aspect of the culture you're talking about because you have Rasta, which is a culture.
The culture.
You have reggae music, dancehall music.
The large
the people
part
them politically.
Them.
Eh?
The large portion of the culture that's celebrating his release.
That celebrate what?
Celebrating his release.
Because that is dancehall culture. That's a set of people who are into that kind of culture. But I don't know. I only broaden it and say.
A monolith like it.
Yeah, you know. What say about the culture? You know, it's like a man I say, dancehall dead. You know, I don't know dancehall dead. or you say dance all day. When I go foreign and I see a stage with 200,000 people in front of me, I know you're not dancehall music on it. I play reggae me here and the whole time reggae them with carry walk. Like how me so can walk here. You know something I say? But all them dead here for so much years. Look at all mass agreements. At 60 years, shall sing from shall 12-year-old. At 60 years now, shall celebrate in the reggae music industry. And she's still like poor all over the place. When you look at the lineup them, artists from all of the festival them are foreign. Burning Spear, this, that. And mostly reggae culture with a little tip of dancehall, two little dancehall man in it. So you have to differentiate cultures. Reggae and a dancehall, you know. Dancehall and a reggae. You know, see, you have to differentiate now when you say reggae culture. You know, you have ska culture too. Ska start in Jamaica, but you don't know ska band in Jamaica. If you go to Europe, you see ska band. You see band dancehall culture. You know, dancehall culture, you know, it around the place, you know. And it come with a certain vibration that I don't really work with. You know, dancehall culture seem to be a culture where it's almost like it had try to X out the culture of reggae, which is Rasta. You see? So you find that the youth them know is a kind of dark, you know, very, very down kind of vibes. We look happy, but the happiness we see is the woman them, you know, and the materialism, because every dancehall artist, I don't know dancehall, the artists them to the Afrobeat artists them. Every time I see them take a picture, them take it in front of a car or a big house. That is what them do. Every one of them take it in front of a car or a house. I mean, I say, well, that's the culture. You know, see, when we used to say the Rasta man them, a reggae, and them they are river, you know, them here, see them a chop something, all right, smoke herbs, some serious chalice a pull and all them something there. So that total different thing. One must not mix up dancehall culture with reggae culture, you know, because it is reggae is what Rasta use to drive Rasta outside there, because we don't have a church, we don't have a school to profess that. So we use the music. And the music has been very powerful to move Rasta from Jamaica to the whole world. You know, see? And the most influential culture will come out of Jamaica now. It's not Jamaican culture. It's Rasta culture. That is the most powerful thing come out of Jamaica right now. You know? So we can't mix it up now with them dancehall youth and all where. And money them I work with. You know, see? Right now, you have artists who have sing all them life, and him can't have a house. Him have a house. And him have sing for 60 years. You know, see? And him can't support certain family, because family that. The man, them now, them don't have no family, so them know none of that. But them have make big money. One man go up foreign and come back, and you see him buy Benz. You know, see? You know, see, buy start, he come out the other day, him have him double him up this, that. Yes, I'm in a jail, him do that. He might make music in a jail. You see? So, me know what I put together and say, the, you know, Jamaican culture and all the people them are going over Vibes Cartel means that it's all the people them all over Jamaica going to celebrate in release. I'm going to celebrate him release because he oppose the system too. Some of them vex about the system like me. I'm not celebrate nothing, you know, because I say, it's like you have Donald Trump and, what's your name? Kamala. None of them is not preferable to me, you know, but if me get up and you say Kamala, we would have preferred that. Come on, choose Donald Trump over. Based upon what I see him say and hear him say, I'm going to deal with it. So in the Vibes Cartel situation now, the people them are recognize say the system is a fraud. And them now for the system. And them no care what them want to say. Them feel let him go. And now that them let him go, them feel good about it, so them celebrate that. Most Jamaican now celebrate that. That's it. Most Jamaican they on WhatsApp, YouTube, what them things. So you see that, like it's most Jamaican. I do that. You know, but is that thing a man celebrate? People celebrate it. Or you have certain people don't celebrate it. You have people love dancer. You have some people can't take dancer. Personally, the nowadays dancer, me doing it. Because I see that celebrate something with black woman. I say, oh, black woman, every dancer thing you see a woman in that bottom, in that camera, like, which up in that bottom of the camera. Oh, that, where that is why. But it's that you them celebrate. And the gyrating and the dark con business and all them something there. That kind of trap. You know, it's like we are going now in America with PDD. And we ask about, you mean say them money are at the same time going with all the wife? Every one of them go right into Hollywood too. I didn't think about it, but you say no, it couldn't be some brown and white. Every day, you see something about PDD. Just like how you had a brother with them, the old. What's his name again?
R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. But this one, you look like it worse.
Big time.
Yeah. That come like Epstein, where they on the island.
It looked like it's worse than Epstein, right?
Yeah. So when you really check it now, me now go put this music, you know, with PDD them, you know, with people like the Temptations and Aretha Franklin and Otis Redding and all them people there, you know. Me adapt me listen to. And you have some now me listen to still, but me assure you, say, me not a hip-hop kind of, I'm a collect every kind of music. If you listen to my program, I listen to music when we play by Irie. I play music when we play by Irie. And I see it. Because if it not say some things, or if it not sure a sight of quality in the human spirit, I not play it. You know? And that no means you can't talk about sex in other music, you know? Sometimes not what you say is how you say it. And that is problematic to me personally. I'm not a Christian, but I know, say, in my spirit, must be satisfied, say, when me play it, it don't come across like, you know, why Bridget, you know, educated, you don't understand where you're going, why you play that? Nobody can tell me that when me play a tune on the radio, say, why me play that if me not hear the lyrics? You know, see, sometimes I play all a tune, I never know what's a bad word tonight, and them call me, and say, Mota, you never, you have to write a letter, say, apologize and them say, I'm do it. And I say, but I don't know how that miss me, you know. Yeah. I call there and I say, Bridget, oh, you make them tune, you make radio edit and out the edit. Why would I have to make a tune with can't read, play upon the radio? Yeah. I mean, you can't say something bad and not say them lyrics because at this time, me not have nothing against bad word, but me is not supposed to play it upon the radio. I mean, he's a lawful man. And that Marcus Garvey tell me, for though. And I said, the little country where you know, I just follow the law, the man. Don't kind of go and bully a policeman and slap you. Call him sir and, yeah, so me do it. Yes, sir, no, sir. See? And then me, them. And I said, so where you talking for Virgin? You know, so, what, are they, you know, say I'm Babylon. No, I mean, I'm not like that blood bath. If a policeman lick me, I lick him back. If a policeman lick me, I lick him back. That's why when he stop me, I say, yes, officer, so what me do now? And he said, why you want to see I go speed limit? And I say, hey, you ask me never know, you know, so all right, me guilty, so on. Tell me what you have to do now, because I can't deny what you say. And I say, all right, go on. But I now go business, so I mean, stop. Stop it, I never go to you tell what you talk about. You see, you know, fireball. No, me do like that. Because I know I stay, if a policeman, I'm going to lick him back. I just saw.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world. Until the season changes and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Hey, what's up? It has been 37 days since Donald Trump took office, and a lot has been going on every single one of those 37 days. Yeah, and you could be feeling a lot of things about that, but more than anything, you might be feeling overwhelmed. But whatever you're feeling, I want you to know that you should never feel alone. So for the first 100 days, I'm going to be coming to you once a month with a general recap of how Americans are feeling, with polls and data provided by Navigator Research. So these posts will also be nonpartisan. Just gonna give you a lay of the land. I always think it's important for you to be able to inform your own opinions and make your own judgment calls. And what better way to do that than discussing the relevant data? So without further ado, let's get into it. Need my notes. So as we know, it is tax season. Yeah, and we've heard a lot of things, whether it's about Donald Trump trying to get rid of the IRS and create an ERS, whatever that means. But more than anything, what we've heard from the White House's messaging that we'll provide more tax cuts to the rich and create cuts to programs that our taxes would typically fund that would benefit the middle and lower classes. Here's what Americans are saying. Trump's alignment with tech CEOs is concerning. Most people, 90%, want tax cuts for the middle class instead. 69% of Americans believe tech CEOs are influencing Trump's administration, and it's seen across all racial groups, 68% in white folks, 66% black, 76% Hispanic, AAPI 77%, so it's not even that. 41% of Americans think Trump will help his billionaire friends get richer instead of helping the middle class, and 80% of Americans say CEOs, billionaires, and foreign investors should not get tax cuts. And speaking of his allegiance to tech billionaires, Elon Musk, his numbers are also dipping as far as favorability. As I'm sure you know, once Trump was put in office, he gave Elon Musk a new department, a Department of General Efficiency, to which he was able to access Americans' private information, our Social Security, the Department of Education, Department of Treasury, and since has laid off several federal employees. And a number of federal programs, once again, have been taking funding cuts. And while he might have landed at a 47% in unfavorability in October of 2024, he's now at 53%, and that might seem like a big drop, but generally Americans do not want tech billionaires calling shots or meddling in policy, period. Now, with all that said, basically Americans are feeling that Trump is focused on himself, doing what's best for himself. 53% of Americans feel that way. A lot of Americans feel like he's just bringing corruption to D.C., that whole the January 6th pardon. 48% of Americans do not like that or feel negatively about that. 44% of Americans feel negatively about the funding freeze. My biggest takeaway from all these numbers is that even though the election results would lead one to believe that the majority of Americans feel one way, as time passes for sure, discontent is brewing across Americans, regardless of race, class, gender, socioeconomic status, or any walk of life. So yeah, we'll check back in next month. And if you feel like these numbers were helpful, please visit Navigator's Instagram and their website to see what poll information they have available to you now. Thank you.
You're not acting grateful enough. You're not being thankful. Donald Trump to the leader of Ukraine. Joining our ongoing coverage, former United States Ambassador to the United Nations, former National Security Advisor to President Obama, Ambassador Susan Rice is here. Ambassador, your reaction.
Well, Nicole, obviously it's a very sad day and an embarrassment for the United States on the world stage. But let's step back and analyze what's happened here. I think there's no question that this was a setup. You heard Donald Trump say at the end of that clip you played, this is great television. This was a setup. Volodymyr Zelensky was compelled to agree to a horrible deal that would have sent Ukraine's minerals to the United States without any concrete security guarantees. And yet, because he was trying to improve a relationship with Donald Trump, he came to Washington, he came to the Oval Office, and sat down for a meeting, hat in hand. And soon after he got there, the vice president of the United States lit into him and started a confrontation. Now, I've been in countless Oval Office meetings with heads of state, presidents and vice presidents, as national security advisor, as UN ambassador, and in other roles. I can tell you that the vice president or the secretary of state or anybody else, they don't jump in, hijack a conversation without the express blessing of the president of the United States. So J.D. Vance did that deliberately. Donald Trump knew what he was going to do. And I think, as he said at the end, because he can't, you know, help himself, this was a setup for the cameras. It was a play to his base. But above all, it was a play to Vladimir Putin, to show fealty to Vladimir Putin, and to try to humiliate Zelensky. But Zelensky didn't play along with the script, because Zelensky's got dignity and guts, and Zelensky has people that he democratically represents. And as a result, he couldn't sit there in silence as lies were being told about how the war was started, whose responsibility it was, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he tried to explain what is in fact the case. To suggest that he was not thankful, I can't count the number of times that Zelensky has thanked the American people, the American government, the President of the United States for the critical support that we've provided. It's not about gratitude. It was an effort to humiliate him, to scuttle the U.S.-Ukraine relationship so that Trump no longer feels any obligation to provide support and to hand U.S. interests and Ukraine and potentially Europe to Putin on a silver platter.
Why?
That's a great question.
Susan, we're gonna unfreeze you. I want to play some more of the president in the Oval Office if we have more of that. We're trying to Ambassador, you're unfrozen.
I hope so.
I say why, and I'll add this. Trump had so much to say about everything he and Putin had been through together. It was like a dictator's version of "We Can Do Hard Things." If you're familiar with that podcast, it was insane.
Yeah, Nicole, I think we have to understand that what happened today is really a piece of a larger puzzle. We've seen this building, frankly, since before Trump returned to office. But literally so much of what he has done in his first 5 weeks in office have been to the benefit of Russia and China. So let's review the bidding. You know, threatening our ally, Denmark and Greenland. You know, starting a trade war with our closest allies and partners, trying to, create a conflict with Canada and trying to pretend to relegate it to the 51st state. Vance going to Munich and basically trying to blow up the NATO alliance. Pulling the United States Agency for International Development 100% off the map and retreating. Proposing to cut 8% a year from the Department of Defense and literally dismantling the federal government and eviscerating it. That is not in any way, shape, or form in the national security interest of the United States. We are not only alone and alienated from our closest allies in Europe and Asia, as we heard from Turnbull, but worse, we have aligned ourselves completely with Russia, who is aligned with China, North Korea, and Iran. So in 5 weeks, we flipped the script, and we are dangerously isolated and cast our lot with adversaries who truly do not have our interests at heart.
I mean, Andrew Nastios, who was the head of USAID for George W. Bush, was on the program and made the argument that USAID keeps us safe from, it kept us safe from another 9/11 in the years after 9/11, because by stemming catastrophe and human suffering, you also counter extremism in some of the most brutal and hostile corners of the globe. That aid isn't just philanthropic, which seems to be Donald Trump's misunderstanding of it, that aid is one of our most mighty soft power tools, not just for ending human suffering, but for keeping us safe here. Another person described this as the worst 24 hours in modern American history, that we dismantle programs to spare children from dying of malaria and measles, mumps, preventable deaths and diseases, and we dismantle the World Alliance. What is Trump's end game if you're an adversary or an ally looking at everything he's doing?
I think his end game is to undermine the security and stability of the United States. And that brings us back to the question that you asked earlier. Why? There's no other way to look at this in sum, Nicole, than to see that this is a deliberate and comprehensive weakening of the United States in very short order, from a security point of view, from an economic point of view, from a diplomatic point of view, all to the benefit of our principal adversaries, Russia primarily, and China. And so I think the sooner the American people understand what this is about, what this is at what's at stake, the clearer we can be. Now, Vladimir Putin is not popular in the United States. 80% of Americans understand him to be the vicious, cruel dictator that he is. But I'd love to hear more than one Republican in Congress stand up and say that this is not who the United States is. This is not what we signed up for. And more importantly, this is not making America safer. It's, in fact, making us weaker and shrinking in the world. And it is going to make every American less safe.
I mean, before the Oval Office ambush, Republicans were on the record as recently as last week criticizing Putin, calling him what he is, and praising Zelensky. At least one Republican senator, I think it's Mr. Wicker, deleted a tweet today and got in line with almost the same. This is Senator Wicker, deleted a tweet highlighting the meeting with Zelensky and the bipartisan group of senators this morning, which he said went swimmingly. It went great. Zelensky was impressive and courageous and brave. And Democrats and Republicans left that meeting with high praise for Zelensky. He deleted this tweet praising Zelensky after Trump and Vance berated him in what you describe as a setup. What does that send to the world, that message?
Well, it's tragic. You know, Senator Wicker knows better. So do many of the senators on both sides of the aisle that participated in that meeting earlier.
There's that tweet up on the screen again. This was from this morning's. Republican Senator Wicker tweeted, "Today, several U.S. senators had the opportunity to meet with President Zelensky to discuss Ukraine's future and the mineral deal brokered by President Trump. This is a huge step forward in securing mutual prosperity and peace for Americans and Ukrainians." Senator Wicker tweeted that and then deleted it, Susan Rice.
And deleted it knowing better, as do so many of his Republican colleagues, as well as Democrats. And they are just kowtowing to a leader out of fear and cowardice and selling out the national interests in the process. For all this talk we've heard for decades about how strong and muscular Republicans are on national security and defense, how they stand for freedom, as Ronald Reagan did, and up for democracy, they have just folded. And they are complicit in the undermining of our national security and our national interests.
What are your worries about what happens now? Now that Putin and Vance have done this, we're at the hinge point, right? It will forever be for Ukraine what happened before that meeting and what happens after. What is the risk now for the Ukrainian people?
Well, I worry about the Ukrainian people. I worry about Europe, and I worry about the wider world. For the Ukrainian people, they have no choice but to continue to do all that they can to defend themselves. They are facing an extremely powerful and hostile aggressor who now twice has invaded their country, and they're right to believe he'll do it again if given the opportunity. So they're going to have no choice except to continue to defend themselves. And one can hope that there might be some path to patching things up, but I think that's very hard to envision. I don't think Donald Trump wants that. I think he wants the outcome he got today. And that means that Europe and our other democratic allies or erstwhile allies will need to do as much as they possibly can to continue to support Ukraine. People don't recall that Europe already has provided more, billions more in assistance to Ukraine than the United States has, economic and military. They're going to need to continue to carry the load while the United States casts its lot with Vladimir Putin.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone.
Been WRCT Pittsburgh.